Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, we're rolling out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you caught up with yesterday's and you are good to go. But of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are both on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three of those E's.
Oh. All right, Dan, I knew this would be something you would get a kick out of. You know, they originally voted that we weren't going to do our money league this year, and then they made some changes and decided we were going to do a weekly league, just one draft, but a weekly league, and you're going to start seven just hitters. There's no specific positions, and three pitchers, and then you'll have four bench players. Now, of course, I'm used to this with this league. They couldn't find a time where I think there's nine of us, where all nine of us could get together to do a draft online. So they did the thing where they opened it up again, and we're starting to go through the draft now. Now this started early yesterday morning. All right. So you would think we'd be humming along pretty good. We're on pick 12, Dan. but it's been pretty interesting so far. It went Christian Yelich, Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna, and Cody Bellinger were the first four. Mr. Fantasy and I were at number five. I tried to talk him into Mike Trout, but apparently a lot of the people in this league are under the impression that Trout's going to end up opting out and not playing. So he didn't want that. My second choice was Javi Baez. But as Dan knows, and anybody who listened to the podcast when Mr. Fantasy used to do it with us, he's a gigantic White Sox fan, so selling him on a Cub didn't work out. We finally came to the agreement that we would select Nolan Arenado. So we took Arenado 5. Anthony Rendon went 6th. Mike Trout went 7th. Alex Bregman went 8th. Javi Baez went 9. Garrett Cole was the first pitcher taken at 10. And then Francisco Lindor was number 11. So that's where we sit right now with this. And Mr. Fantasy and I are waiting. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks away from making another selection. So there is a small possibility that we will make one more tonight before it's time for me to go to bed. But I'm not counting on that. It's just possible. So yeah, that's how this league goes. And it's fun to go through this with these guys. And I don't know why or how or what they're doing that they can't get to their computer or whatever to make a draft, but it drives me nuts doing it this way. And, you know, oddly, even when we're all together, like, they don't run a clock like we do in our leagues. So literally you'll sit there and it'll take 10 minutes for them to pick. And it's just like, really? What are you doing? You know, or like the guy who's picking back to back will make one pick and then 10 minutes later he'll make the other. And it's like, did you not realize you have back-to-back picks? you don't realize how this works? So I don't know. It's just fun. But now, were you surprised? Because, like, I was a little shocked that Trout hung around till 7. Are you kind of surprised that he didn't go earlier?
7? Wow. Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm assuming when we do ours, he's going to be gone in the first 3 or 4. I don't even think he'd make it to 4, to be honest.
Yeah, because, you know, normally, I mean, he's, you know, 1 or 2 when he comes off the board right away. And, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, if you're sitting up there, do you have any concerns about him, you know, possibly opting out and not playing? Do you think it's something that fantasy players have to worry about? I mean, I guess technically you got to worry about it with anybody, but, you know, Trout does have a baby on the way.
Oh, he does. I didn't even know that. I mean, I think that's definitely a concern. I just feel like MLB should just give him a day, you know, like, hey, we're opening the season on July 24th. I need your paperwork by the 17th to determine if we're going to pay you for this year or not pay you $500 million for this year, and you'll get stuck with your team for one more year. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I feel like they need to start instituting some, like, cutoff dates. You know, I mean, it's just, why even bother dragging it on? You know, if you don't feel comfortable, you should just opt out and not play. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, you know, it would make sense. But who knows? Yeah, you know, I don't understand why. See, like, that would have been something I would have thought they came up with right away. Hey, you know, if you don't want to play, let us know by this date. You know, I mean, that would just kind of make sense. And, you know, I mean, I get it. It's Mike Trout. You want to give him as much, you know, optimal time as he can to make his decision. But, it just seems kind of weird.
Yeah, but, I mean, even that, especially if he's a young man, he's married, got a baby coming on the way, he's not really making that decision for himself. You know, let's be honest. It's not just him. And, you know, I mean, I can only assume his wife's sitting at home, like, just staring at him. Like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, back in March, my last day in the office was March 13th, a Friday. Kind of go figure. My wife was, like, freaking out that I was even going in. And I don't know. I don't remember the reason I told her. Or, you know, I think I told her something like I was waiting for, you know, the office manager and, you know, the execs or, you know, the high up to make it official that we should start working from home. But I wouldn't have gone in except I had ordered some stuff. And I was actually out of the office that entire week until that day. And I needed to pick up, you know, the clothes I ordered and some hats or whatever. So I had, you know, several packages waiting for me at my desk. But, I mean, she was freaking out, and she was, like, really upset about it. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, and at that point, it was all still new. So, you know, I think we were less scared then, you know, as opposed to now where, you know, people are dropping, some aren't. You know, it's just, I don't know. You would think that they could just make up their mind already. You know, even Chris Bryant, you know, it's just got married. I'm sure his wife's sitting there like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, why just give it up? 28 years old or whatever. Still got a hell of a lot of time ahead of you. Just opt out. You know, and if she's a real baseball person, she's going, season doesn't even mean crap anyways. Yeah, but I want to play for Grandpa Rossi. You know, is that what it comes down to, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, we know guys like Brian and Mookie Betts are going to play because they, you know, they don't want to push that arbitration clock back any further than it is. So, you know, I mean, you could go, you know, I'm willing to bet that not one of the guys who opted out or will opt out is an arbitration player. So, you know, because you want to get through that as you know best as you possibly can. So, but yeah, I know, and again, like you and I talked about a little bit yesterday, you know, baseball is going to be different than basketball and hockey and you know soccer and you know the sports like that where you know they're going to go to the field, play the game, and then go home. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have, you know, interactions somewhere along the line. You know, if you got to stop at the store for the wife on the way home, or you got to pick up dinner, or you know, just having a normal daily routine or activity, you know, they're going to run into other people, and yeah, you know, they're going to be tested on a regular basis. But you know that you know, unfortunately, we're probably going to see players get sick because it happens. It's part of life. And you just got to hope that, you know, they can catch it quickly and quarantine whoever it is before it's spread. I mean, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot you can do in a situation like this, but, you know, you can't lock everybody up in their houses, right? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So... But yeah, you know, I did find a list of players who have opted out so far, Dan, and it's headlined by three national players. It's Wellington Castillo, Joe Ross, and Ryan Zimmerman. Two Braves, they're the only other team with multiple guys opting out. The King, like we talked about, Felix Hernandez and Nick Markakis. And then the rest of the list is Ian Desmond of the Rockies, Mike Leake of the Diamondbacks, who I believe was first, Hector Nwosi of the Pirates, David Ross of the Dodgers, and then David Price, excuse me, of the Dodgers. I added the names together there. And then Tyson Ross, who I actually believe is Joe Ross's brother. He's on the Giants, or he was on the Giants. I believe he actually was released before he decided that he wasn't going to play this year. So, yeah, there's a list. I mean, Again, we talked about it. The only really big name so far has been David Price. Do you think we're going to see another one? And I guess how do you, and then just kind of twofold it by thinking, how do you think the Dodgers feel after they made this big deal for Price, really to get Mookie Betts, but Price came along with him, and now he's sitting out?
I don't think Dave Roberts feels anything because he's just a robot for the front office. I don't know. I think, it's kind of twofold. It sucks. But I think at the same time, you've got him for another year, right?
No, he's under contract. So this just clicks off a contract year.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
See, I wasn't sure how that worked. So I assumed if they opt out, they don't play this year, then, the contract is still based on how many years are left, not how many, not what specific years.
So, yeah, I it is possible that may be the case because I haven't really followed up. I know originally it was just looked at as, it's a year on the, it's just one less year on the contract. So, maybe when they reached their agreement, they came to terms on that. I haven't looked into it to see who or what or, how it kind of works out.
Because, I mean, to pay a guy, well, I know there's a prorated salary, but $32 million to not play this year on his own accord, just doesn't seem right,
So yeah, and I guess this is kind of this would be kind of an interesting question for me. Now the Dodgers are really even without Price, and it's kind of interesting. They're clearly one of the front runners in this whole thing to go to the World Series and win it all, just like it seems like every year, the Dodgers are the team to beat. Say they go on, Dan, and they you know, they mow through everybody and they get their World Series win that's kind of escaped them. You know, even though it you and I believe it should have an asterisk and it really shouldn't count for a whole lot, you know they're going to get rings. David Price get one?
I mean, he's part of the team. So, but I gotta run. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
So, yeah, because you know that was kind of interesting to me to see how that goes. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, he's on the team, he was on the team, but he decided to not be on the team. So I don't know how they would handle it. You know, even without him in the rotation, you know, the Dodgers still have Clayton Kershaw. You know, Walker Buehler really broke out last year. It looks like we're finally going to see Julio Urias in the rotation full time. Alex Wood is back with the Dodgers where he had some success. You know, he'll get the opportunity to make the rotation. You know, I know the depth chart I saw had Dustin May listed as the fifth starter, but yeah, don't be surprised if, you know, Ross Stripling finds a way in there. You know, and interestingly, you know, the best thing for the Dodgers may have been the fact that Ross Stripling, Jock Peterson trade to the Angels, you know, ended up being reneged. So, and there will be some other contenders. You know, Caleb Ferguson, you know, they signed Jimmy Nelson, the Brewer, who's been battling some injuries. So, you know, they're going to have some guys in camp with an opportunity to compete. And, you know, they should end up with a, obviously if you're headlined by Kershaw and Buehler, you're going to have a pretty good rotation at the start. You know, the Dodgers have done a really nice job of building, you know, young pitchers. Like Urias is just 23. Let me see. Caleb Ferguson is 24. Buehler himself is just 25. Who else was I talking? Dustin May is 22. Ross Stripling did turn 30. God, it's hard to believe he's already 30. But, you know, like Alex Wood is 29. So they're all still really young, you know, when you go through it. I mean, and in reality, Clayton Kershaw, too, is just 32 years old. You know, but, I mean, you'd think it seems like he's been pitching forever. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they fill out their rotation and, you know, the way things kind of work out for them. But, you know, obviously it would have been great to have David Price as what would have been your third starter, you know, because normally he's a one or a two on most teams. But for the Dodgers, he'd have been number three. So, yeah, I guess, you just kind of, obviously there's nothing they can do. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of an interesting scenario. You know, if they did win it or they do win it, you know, I mean, I'm sure they would include him just because, you know, let's face it, everybody gets a ring now. But I would be interested to know, and obviously we never really will, but I'd be interested to know how the players actually feel, you know, or would feel about the fact that it's kind of like, hey, you know, we did this and here's your ring, buddy. Because, you know, thanks. You were fantastic. So, yeah, it's just one of those, one of those goofy, goofy situations that kind of, you know, happen with what's going on today. So, we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it plays out. And, again, like I said, we'll never honestly really know how anybody feels because let's face it, they're not going to come out and say, you know, hey, we didn't like the fact that he sat out or, you know, we were fine with him sitting out. I mean, no, you know, everybody's going to tell you it was, it's his decision, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you always do wonder if, especially on a contender, how they, they're actually feeling, or you know, that kind of deal. So you know, we'll have to you know, I guess we'll have to, you know, again, I guess we'll wait and see how it plays out. But I'm sure in reality he will get a ring if they do find a way to win it. So you know, and then now, was I the only one who, only other one, and I guess I'll have to wait for him to kind of roll back in before I can ask him this, but I'll wait here. Let's bring him back in and see if he's there. Okay. Dan, did you find it odd that baseball released the 2021 schedule already?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, but it's usually around the time they do it, right? But don't forget, if you read the email, if you got any, it says the tentative schedule. So,
yeah.
Can't change.
yeah, well, you know, hopefully by the time April 1st rolls around, where they have everybody opening up next year, we'll be able to actually have fans in the stands and you know, kind of be back to maybe a little more of what we actually kind of remember life to be like beforehand. So,
yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Oh, my God, I forgot Felix Hernandez is with the Braves.
Yeah, he's a Brave now. So, you know, that's kind of... Kind of, you know, there, you know, it was obvious, you know, he chose to sit out because, you know, he was fighting for a roster spot. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how that's going to work, you know, how that's going to work out, or, you know, what they'll end up doing. But, you know, Well, you know, we'll have to see if the Braves even bring him back next year. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things, right? So, and now, here's something I want to ask you, because I saw a little bit on this earlier. Now, you know, they have the... I'm going to go ahead and say it here, Dan. The incredibly stupid extra inning rule where you put the guy on second base. And I guess maybe this plays more into if you're the home team, Dan. If you get through, I think it's the top of the 11th or whatever, if you get through and that day you strand that guy on second, they don't score, you come up, your guy goes out there to second, do you immediately bunt the guy to third and give up the out so he's only 90 feet away and score on some? He can score on some weird fluke play then, or
not the Dodgers,
you know, obviously, and I,
or
you know,
Angels.
And I know sabermetrics would hate that. You know, the, you know, they those people will freak out if you do it. But you know, Dan, I mean, it would make a lot of sense to move him up and take the chance. I mean, you're looking at, you know, wild pitch, you know, fielding error, throwing error, you know, there's a lot of ways for him to get in from third base with, you know, just one out. Do you think we'll see teams try to do it? And then I guess my other question is, can these home run robots actually execute the bunt when they're called upon?
The home run guy won't. Javi Baez will on his own accord.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I know, like a guy like Anthony Rizzo is actually a pretty good bunter. You know, he's bunted for some base hits. But,
well, you've got to wonder.
I mean, there's other guys who are just clowns.
Yeah, well, you've got to wonder, too, if Anthony Rizzo comes up to bat in the top of the 10th or bottom of the 10th, whichever, and, you know, Javi or some speedsters on second. And do you automatically go with the shift? Or are you afraid that
Rizzo? Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's not a, it, they haven't banned the shift yet, which, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You can't ban the shift.
You know, or, you know, I guess the other way to look at it is, would you walk a guy like Rizzo intentionally with first base open to set up a double play?
I would.
You know, even, you know, even with nobody out, because they're not going to bunt both guys over. But, yeah, I mean, you know, because obviously, you know, if this rule would have been in play, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever, every team would be bunting that guy to third immediately. You know,
oh,
there,
yeah.
There'd be no question then. So, you know, because then, you know, they would have to bring the infield in to cut off the run. And, you know, it would give hitters, you know, a much better opportunity to, you know, to drive him in and, you know, take care of that. You know, and that's why, you know, I'm just going to hate this rule the more and more. You know, if I even see it, I'm just going to hate it more and more because it's just going to completely take away from the actual game of baseball. But, yeah, I just thought that was, that could be kind of an, you know, kind of an interesting scenario. It's like, oh, okay, here, we got out of the top of the inning, and now, you know, we just need this run to, you know, this run to get home. Well, let's move him up. Let's move him up 90 feet and, you know, make it a little easier on ourselves. I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty good idea, but you don't think we'll see it that often?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, here's the one thing. Whether you like the rule changes or not, you know, designated hitter in the National League, I think it's going to add to the game. You know, and maybe, you know, you beg to differ. I think maybe make it a little bit better. It's going to make it better for owners, players, managers, front office, all that, you know. And the fans, the limited, you know, the relief pitcher has to come in and finish the inning out, you know, three batters or finish the inning. I think it's beneficial to speed, you know, the timing of the game, you know, TV and fans. You know, they eliminated that rule with pitchers, and you remember, you know, the two-way player has to do blah, blah, blah. Whatever that rule was, they've eliminated it. So for this year, so it is what it is. You know, the, like I said, the three batter, they're not going to call a game a washout in the fifth inning. You know, there's a lot of rule changes that have been happening over the last couple of years, and I think they add to the game. Well, except for the instant replay, it hasn't really added to the game yet. It's made the game kind of unbearable when it's instant replay time. But, you know, if they did it right, it would add to the value of the game. 10th inning, you pass it, and it's the top of the 11th. You go out there, and you put a man on second. Adds absolutely nothing to the game, but kind of makes a mockery of it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So while it's a 60-game shortened season, to me the World Series isn't what it's going to be or what it is in the past and what it will be in the future. You know, I'll still watch it, but I'll be honest. If I'm in an extra inning game and it goes to the 10th inning and the home team doesn't win, I'm tuning out. And I urge every single Major League Baseball fan to turn it off. I'd rather see a tie than watch Little League baseball on you know, at a professional level.
Yeah, that's just, you know, not, you know, I, you know, why didn't we just, you know, put the 10-run rule in?
Exactly. You know, I mean, I would never even thought of that one, but you're right. I mean, if you're going to institute this rule, like you said, when it's 10 to nothing or 22 to, you know, when the Dodgers, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants all travel to San Diego and we get those games again like we've had in the past, where it's, 25 to nothing. We shouldn't even get to that point. Like you said, we should just institute the 10-game, 10-run rule and call it a slaughter and then make the opposing manager wave a white flag, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, make them do something. Go out there and give their unconditional surrender.
Yeah, throw them, instead of like the NFL, they throw a yellow flag for the challenge. The manager just throws a white flag, or maybe not the manager, the umpire has one in his back pocket that he just throws out there.
Yeah, well, I didn't look into it, but I saw the apparently the umpires had their own little issues. I guess Joe West made a comment that the umpires union just kind of ran away from. So but yeah, they had to come out with the statement. The union itself said that, the recent public comments, they didn't name Joe West by name, but recent public comments did not reflect their stance. Yeah, here's what West said. Those statistics talking about the deaths and stuff from the coronavirus. Those statistics aren't accurate. I don't care who's counting them. When country music singer Joe Diffie died, they said he died of coronavirus. He had stage 4 lung cancer. The coronavirus may have accelerated his death, but let's be realistic. So, yeah, he's oddly, I know a lot of people who actually agree with him. So it was kind of interesting that, and I understand the union stays out of it because it's incredibly political and, it's nothing they need to get involved with. It's just West's opinion. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, nothing really to make out of it there, is there? It's just, like I said, one guy giving his opinion.
Yeah, it's one guy giving his opinion, and we'll see how, not coming out of him, but how his words are reflected upon come December. Right. What's in December? Well, you'll know.
Christmas.
After the election. Where
are we still having Christmas?
Yeah. Well, as long as you're 6 feet away from everybody. The only interesting fact that I didn't even think about, and not trying to generalize the umpires or offend anybody, but I mean, let's be honest. The commercials we've seen put out by Fossey, the government, indicate that, the most at risk are the elderly. I don't know what age you consider elderly, but, majority of the umpires fall in that category.
Yes, they do.
So, that's, I guess, and I didn't even think about it until this point when you, even just said the umpires union. Where was the consideration for them?
Yeah, you wonder how they're going to handle it.
Joe West has been a staple as an umpire for Major League Baseball. And, with the way things are, he has the option to opt out, I'm assuming. But do you just throw these guys away, mark them off for the season? What do they do for their lives, livelihood?
Yeah, well, because, West himself is 67. So he definitely fits into the what would be considered the high-risk age bracket. So, I know a lot of those, a lot of those umpires do not, not even looking up their ages, but, some of those guys, I mean, they've had, 20 plus year careers as major league umpires, and they didn't start right out of high school at 18. So, you're looking at a lot of guys who are over 50 and into their 60s, obviously, I guess if you're umping, first, second, or third base, you can stay 6 feet away from people. But if you're calling balls and strikes, You know, are they going to make these guys wear masks? Are they going to try to do something else with them? I mean, I couldn't imagine wearing a freaking mask under your mask as it is. So.
Well, and not only that, you know, how come that wasn't brought up, and why haven't the Frontier League's fake robot umpires been instituted for this season? This is the perfect time for that. And I think they dropped the ball on this one right here.
You know, if you think about it, Dan, maybe it was brought up, but besides you and I as of right now, how many other fans actually care about the umpires? You know, how many fans do you actually think thought, oh, yeah, that umpire is, you know, in the high-risk age bracket? You got
a
number for me?
I don't think – no, I would say -5. You know, because when it comes to umpires, the only thing we think about is that guy we missed that used to be on a lot of the West Coast games that called strikes really awesomely. You know, he was taking away from. Yeah, does he still ump? I don't really see that. You know, that was always great entertainment. You know, everyone hates Joe West, and then everyone hates Angel Hernandez. But that's aside from that, we don't really get much umpire talk.
No. And in reality, that's a good thing. I mean, you don't want to know the umpires by their names, because if you know their names, then they're doing wrong. So.
Well, yeah, I named the only two I really know.
Right. Yeah, the other umpire you're talking about was Dutch Reynolds. He passed away in 2018.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I wish I would have known that. I got to keep up with my umpires.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, sticking with that.
I'm trying to think, is the ump who blew the Galarraga's perfect game still an ump, Jim Joyce?
I don't know.
So.
We'd have to do some digging. But, you know, kind of keeping in tune with that, you know, when you think about officials and probably the least necessary officials of all the leagues would be the NBA. You know, and what are those guys going to be doing? Are they going to be wearing masks on the court? I mean, because let's be honest, with technology today, they don't need officials on the court.
Yeah.
Because they don't do anything anyways to begin with. You know, they always miss calls. They make up fake calls.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's actually a list of Major League umpires on Wikipedia. That's the only place I could find one, but it's alphabetical.
Well, I'm sure you'd have to, like, click on each one of their names to get their info. But that was one of the hardest things to find, too, when I had looked into it years ago, you know, really kind of getting info on the umpires. But, you know, as much as the players can be hated, you know, like a David Ross in New York or A-Rod coming to Boston, you know, things like that, you know, I think – you wouldn't want to have too much information on the umpires because they would probably get the worst death threats. You know, especially that guy down in Atlanta who, you know, called the infield fly rule on an outfield fly ball.
Yeah, and Jim Joyce, the umpire, was asking about did retire after the 2016 season. So that's what I wanted to know was if he was still an umpire or not. So,
you can't get rid of Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, he's part of the union. You know how it is with those union guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just one of those, you know, one of those deals, you know, we have to kind of live with and see how it goes. But, yeah, it's it is kind of interesting that nobody mentioned the health of the umpires. So I guess we don't care about them.
No. They don't get $30 million a season. So.
You know, because you know it's odd because like they'll talk about the manager. You know, they talk about the managers. They talk about, you know, the obviously the assistant coaches and stuff when they're older. You know, I know especially in the NBA where the coaches, you know, are on the bench and probably have more contact with players than any of the other sports. They all have good contact. But yeah, I don't know. It's just odd that it's never came up.
Yeah, and I guess even for us, you know, it's not something we really thought about until, you know, you said Mr. West put out that comment. And, you know, and that's kind of the state of our country today where it's definitely generational where, you know, guys of his generation, you know, with that comment that he made, all I can hear is millennials and Zers, whatever that next generation after them, what they're called. All I could hear in my head was, okay, boomer. You know, but at the same time, you know, one thing I think we forget is that, you know, these boomers have been around a lot longer. They've seen some more stuff where, you know, I had a talk last night with a guy I know on Instagram, a guy from down in Alabama. He's, you know, we're same age. And we're discussing, what's going on in this world, you know, especially with the rioting and the protesting. And, you know, he's a African-American male. And, you know, it was kind of funny. He's like, man, it's amazing how we're kind of on the same plate, you know, as far as being a little bit more mature. Because, you know, a lot of the people that were out there really, I wouldn't even say protesting, but the ones that were rioting and the ones that are, you know, very angry and up at it, you know, really torn up about it were the younger people. And it's like, you know, the one thing we kind of agreed on was, you know, at that age, you're just dealing with your emotions. And you're not really looking at things logically and you haven't experienced enough where, you know, you're obviously going to have more experience than me, a lot more, right? No, but not as much as Stu.
Oh, yeah.
But so, I mean, it's, you know, that was one of the things we had talked about where, you know, guys at our age, 40, if we were out there protesting, we would just be marching or, you know, we wouldn't be the ones yelling in faces and kind of getting all riled up like that. Where even he said, you know, he's like down there, you know, Alabama, they've been dealing with racism their whole life. And, you know, he said, you know, he also agreed maybe it's part of the, you know, part of the problem is as we get older, we just kind of assimilate it and then just forget about it and move on with our lives. And, you know, the topic needs to be addressed again, and it'll always be addressed. But, you know, we also discussed that these kind of issues happen for our class, and that is the middle class, you know, the middle to the lower, or the upper. They don't care about race because they got all the money.
when you have that kind of money, none of this matters to you. You just kind of have to make sure you put out a statement. You know, because I did see that somebody is still pissed at Jerry Jones because he hasn't made a statement. And, you know, again, that just so,
you know, it's just interesting to hear Joe West come out and say that, especially a guy. But, you know, like you said, what is he a part of? A union. So, you know, while his statement may or not be true, at the same point, it wasn't detrimental to his career and to the umpires union to where it would affect him. But, you know, so it does make you wonder, like, are they even concerned? Because, you know, my father-in-law is in his 70s, and he didn't give a damn. You know, he calls it covert. And he spells it that way, too. It's not just a weird, you know, I wash my hands. He literally says covert.
I guess it kind of depends, you know, who you are or how you feel. You know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I work with a guy who, you know, there's actually, believe it or not, Dan, there's actually people who I work with that are older than me, if you can actually believe that. One guy who, you know, I actually talked to, he used to live in Carpentersville when I was living out there, so we would talk to each other. He just decided that he wants no part of this, and he's staying home. He literally hasn't been to work in months just because he doesn't feel safe. So, you know, but yet there's other guys who are, you know, 60, you know, 60, 65. We even have guys working into their 70s that show up every day, do their job, and just, you know, they're not worried about it. So it, I guess it just kind of depends who you are.
Yeah, well, and you got to imagine when they're up that age, it's like, well, still working, so if I die, at least I'll get to sleep, right?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the guys work, like the one guy pointed it out to me, him and I ran into each other years ago. I mean, this guy, he's 75, and he still works, because I ran into him one day, and he was like, you know, what the hell are you doing here on a holiday? I was like, you know, you're the senior guy, why are you here? He's like, well, they have to guarantee me 8 hours of pay, and they have to pay me $88 an hour. So I figured it was worth coming in.
Yeah, that's worth it.
So there you go. Yeah. He made more that day than I made the entire week. So, just one of those odd things. But I did see Dan, getting back to baseball here real quick. We had our first kind of, you know, I'm going to call this a concerning injury just because of the way it went down. Going to our Giants, Dan, it looks like Brandon Belt is, as they described, nursing a sore right heel, and they've put him in a walking boot, and they're going to reevaluate him in a week. When the season opens July 23rd, and, you know, that means if he manages to get the boot off in a week, he's going to have a week to get ready. That's if the boot only comes off. You know, is this just going to be kind of one of these, you know, another injury plagued year for a guy like Belt? I think he had some issues last year. You know, when it came to injury, I'm going to double check. I mean, didn't get his player card, but, you know, this was a guy, you know, we had our buddy, you know, our buddy Mark, and this was a guy he was thinking was going to be, you know, possibly a 40 homer guy, and it just hasn't went that way for him.
No, and, you know, you're looking at a guy 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, who was the 5, 6 years ago, Silver Slugger and, Golden Glove for that team.
Yeah, and it was actually he was okay last year. He played 156 games. It was the 2 years before that that he struggled with injury issues. But even, you know, even healthy last year, like I mentioned, they talked about him being a 40 homer guy. Dan, I didn't realize that he's never had a 20 homer season. Do you find that surprising?
No.
So, you know, because especially you think first baseman, you know, big power numbers. But, yeah, no, he had 17 bombs last year, and he's never hit more than 18 in a year in a season. I'm wondering if he was the team leader last year. I'm going to have to go back and double-check that, because I know the Giants aren't a huge hitting team. Let's see. Oh, no, they had a – oh, good Lord. Here you go, Dan. Without looking, can you guess one of the two players who tied for the Giants' lead in home runs?
True. Melky Cabrera? Oh, wait, it's not 2012.
And I'll give you a hint. It wasn't Buster.
I have no clue. Yeah, and it wasn't Buster.
they
I don't know.
21 last year. One was Mike Yastrzemski. The other one was Kevin Pillar.
They're not a home run hitting team.
You know, Evan Longoria did hit 20. So, and just so you know, Dan Madison Bumgarner hit 2 in 76 plate appearances, or 62 get back. So. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know, do you think if Belt's got to start the season on the DL or whatever, do we see the panda at first base? Is he the guy who jumps in? Or you think maybe Buster goes out there to start and they catch, like, maybe that Joe Burt finally gets a chance to do some catching at the major league level if he's healthy?
Well, Gabe Kepler hasn't confirmed anything, but I guess Buster has had some cryptic comments. So we may not even see him at all behind the plate or at first base.
Yeah. You find it odd that there seems to be a lot of major league players who are kind of making these cryptic, you know, these cryptic comments about who, you know, if they're going to play, what's going to happen. It seems like we're getting a lot of it.
Yeah, I just, you know, what's the point? Just step up and say you're not going to play. You know, David Price didn't have an issue coming out and saying it, so. You know, let's just move on from it.
Yeah, because, you know, humorously, the Giants could actually be one of those teams that with the short season like this may be really good for them, you know, if they can get out of the gate fast. Because, you know, if you think about it, Johnny Cueto is healthy. And they have Jeff Samardzija, who always, you know, always strikes out a ton of guys. You know, they added Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly to the back of the rotation, so a couple of veteran guys. Who knows who'll end up at number five? I guess maybe your guy Tony Watson is going to try to close, which may be an issue, but we'll see how it goes. But they got a lot of veteran guys in the lineup. They may be one of those teams that if they get off to the right start, Dan, they could just kind of hang around in a short season and grab one of those expanded playoff spots, couldn't they?
I definitely think so. I mean, if you kind of look at the West, though, they would be ones that would take off. I feel like, you know, Colorado, Arizona, and San Diego would be, you know, slow starts. Slow to pick it up.
Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of interesting when, you know, you think about it. It's like, well, you know, they have that veteran presence that you think might be what's capable to carry you through. They'll have to work out the bullpen situation to kind of figure out, you know, who's going to fill what roles. But I'm sure there's only, you know, 29 other teams that are doing the same thing. But, yeah, it's kind of, an interesting read when you look at the team. And, I didn't realize, I kind of forgot they added your guy Billy Hamilton. You know, and now with the DH, he'll probably get a chance to play a little more than originally thought. So, yeah, I just thought, yeah, they could be a really interesting veteran team. And if they, you know, and again, they've got to get off to the right start. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it, Dan, if they could get out of the gate, you know, maybe 20-10 in the first half of the season, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them hang around and grab a playoff spot.
It's just funny to hear, you know, those numbers. And then be like, oh, yeah. Playoff contender.
it's weird. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I never really thought, you know. Don't really think about the Giants as a playoff contender because the Dodgers, you know, dominate so much. So, yeah, it's like, well, if you think about it, they might. I think the right mix or the right presence, if they can just get off to the right start, you know, they could hang around and we might be surprised if they're still there.
Well, and don't forget what year it is.
It's 20 yet even, right?
So, yep.
You know, and obviously they'll probably, you know, they would need Posey in some kind of bounce back, you know, form because he struggled last year between the injuries and everything. So, you know, they would need him to hang around. I mean, if he chose to opt out, that would, you know, probably make it much, you know, well, would definitely make it much more difficult for them to, you know, deal with any kind of playoff setup. But, you know, I, again, it's another one of those situations where we're going to have to go, well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what he decides to do. So,
oh, and by the way, on the weight of boredom waiting for the season to start, in one of the baseball groups I'm in, the Pete Rose crap was brought up again. It's still alive.
Oh, yeah, well,
it's still alive.
We're in the same group, that one group, and I did find it interesting that the guy posted the stats that a player could get 200 hits for 21 years and still not catch Pete Rose. So that I mean, that was an interesting stat.
Yeah. Wait, how many did he have?
44. Is he? What is he? 40. Oh, now I'm gonna have to find your favorite search engine here and use it to see how many hits Pete Rose had, because I can't remember off the top of my head. So.
Yeah, but it's 4192. And 21 times 200 is 4200. So they would have 6 or 8 more hits than Pete Rose.
Yeah, let me double check. Got to get my computer to work here, because you know how it goes when it comes to these things. Pete Rose officially has 4,256 hits.
Oh, why does he keep saying 4,192? Oh, that was just a day.
I think that's the one that's the record. Yeah. So. So, yeah.
Yeah, but if a player hit 200, you know, for 22 years, they would pass him for 23. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
they
like...
would. But not, you know, because, I mean, when you think about it, especially with today's players where they just don't play that long, it's, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, oh, okay, you know, these are, you know, this guy's that guy, or so on and so forth, and it's just like, yeah, wow. So, because, you know, I'm trying to think, with Ichiro gone, who's the all-time active hit guy? I would guess it would be Pujols, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you think about it, Rose was in 24 seasons. But, you know, 1984, he still was up there, 121. So the 24th season, he only, you know, was in 72 games. So, I mean,
yeah.
Nobody plays that long. So you're throwing out a number that isn't even, like, accomplishable anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was right. Pujols is number one active. He's at 3202. I think he is next at 28:15. So there you go.
For some radio guys.